CFWHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two Wisconsin congressmen are throwing their support to Jim Jordan to be Speaker of the U.S. House. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Republicans Scott Fitzgerald and Tom Tiffany say Jordan is their choice over Steve Scalise. Tiffany tells WISN-TV's Upfront that his caucus will work through its differences.
We understand it's not a good look last week, and we have to show that we can work for the American people, and I believe that we can do that.
Republicans abruptly voted Kevin McCarthy out of the speakership last week. Democrat Mark Pocan says it's possible but not likely that another candidate could emerge who could win.
If some moderate Republicans are tired of the civil war that's going on in their party and would like to come by, I'll sit down with any of them and talk to them why I think it would be wiser to have functioning government.
A vote is expected as early as Wednesday. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court will take up a challenge to legislative district maps, and Justice Janet Protasiewicz will not recuse herself. Republicans have said they'd move to impeach the new liberal justice if she did not take herself off a redistricting case. When she ran for office, she called the Republican-drawn maps rigged. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he won't consider impeaching Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf until after a lawsuit that seeks to make it clear whether Wolf is a lawful holdover in the position.
The idea is we're not impeaching somebody who's in the job lawfully. They're not there. So I think that's what the Senate acted on. They didn't confirm her. So that's the action that we're going to follow.
That's Voss speaking with Channel 27 in Madison. Meanwhile, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call wants a judge to declare that Wolf can keep her job as a holdover based on a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling from last year. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is taking applications from providers who want to join a nationwide model to improve Alzheimer's care. The Mayo Clinic's Angela Lundy says the broader care system for those patients is fragmented. She says families are sometimes kept waiting a long time after getting a diagnosis.
There are resources that are available and out there for individuals, and sometimes those resources are just not something that families are aware of.
Health systems will be incentivized with reimbursements to adopt the frameworks. Wisconsin will split $49.5 million with every other state in a settlement with software company Blackbaud. That's for a 2020 ransomware event that exposed the personal information of millions of Americans. Under the settlement, Blackbaud has also agreed to overhaul its data security and breach notification practices. Wisconsin's share is nearly $800,000. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin will hold two hearings today for We Energy's 2024 rate proposals. While residents who use natural gas may see a decrease in their monthly utility bill thanks to lower natural gas prices, an increase in fuel prices could have other residents receiving slightly higher bills. Utility companies in Wisconsin are proposing a 1.6% increase in base rates for electricity bills. Utilities officials also claim a rate increase now could save residents up to $2 billion over the next 20 years. A rural minority community in Alabama may be paying the price as Wisconsin looks to expel PFAS from the state. According to a Wisconsin Watch report, the state is trucking nearly 40,000 gallons of the forever chemicals to Amell, Alabama, which is home to the country's largest hazardous waste landfills. The federal government has flagged the area, which will now hold the forever chemicals from Wisconsin, as vulnerable to environmental injustice. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks win their preseason opener. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks kicked off their preseason with a 105-102 win over the Bulls at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Forward Jay Crowder had 10 points in 20 minutes of play and was asked why he decided to re-sign with the Bucks.
Just the guys. That was my first initial reaction. I felt like we have what it takes just about us doing it. Yeah, I was comfortable with the locker room. I like how they greeted me. I like everything about the work environment, and I wanted to give it another good shot.
Chris Middleton did not play. He's coming off that knee surgery, but says he's on track to play in the season opener when the Bucks host the 76ers on October 26th. College football, the Badgers beat Rutgers 24-13. Wisconsin's head coach Luke Fickell after the win.
I had some concerns, obviously, coming off of a bye week. Those are the things that kind of ring in your head about, okay, now we got to come out here. We got to play well. We got to start fast. You know, you got a team that's coming in here that's played really well all year, manages the game, is going to do some things that I thought were going to put us in a tough situation, limiting possessions and stuff like that. But came out the first half, played really well, defensively played exceptional. You know, and obviously the pick six right there before half, I think, is the difference in the ballgame.
Badgers improved to 4-1. Rutgers is now 4-2. Up next, Wisconsin hosts the Iowa Hawkeyes this Saturday at 1 o'clock. NFL, it's the Packers and the Raiders tonight on Monday Night Football. Kickoff at 7:15. At 1-3, the Raiders are desperate for a win at home. The Packers are 2-2. They head into the bye after this week. There's a lot of former Raiders now in Green Bay, like safety Dalen Leavitt, returner and defensive back Keyshawn Nixon, and special teams and assistant head coach Rich Bisaccia. I asked Matt LaFleur about it.
All those guys made big-time contributions for us. It's awesome to have a guy like Rich. In my opinion, the best at what he does. Quite frankly, I think personally he should be a head coach in this league. And obviously Dalen and Keyshawn and Sewell was there as well. Have all made big time contributions for us.
With sports, I'm Mike.
Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on this Monday morning. It is the 8th day of October, and it's Indigenous Peoples Day. Welcome to the Stu Daniels Show. Come on in, get a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, relax, and let's go over some news and sports and weather. 7.5 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Outside today in La Crosse, sunshine, high around 56 degrees. In Eau Claire today, mostly sunny with a high around 52. In Richland Center, sunshine, high around 57. Amory today, sunshine, high around 51. And in Hayward, partly sunny and breezy with a high around 49 degrees today. In sports, the Packers play in Las Vegas tonight. Kickoff is at 7:15 Wisconsin time, and it's on ABC. And so, in the news today, the first thing I want to get to is an update on what's going on with our Wisconsin Supreme Court. I have here an update from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and this was just posted today here. It says, a pair of Wisconsin Supreme Court developments set the stage for a political power struggle. All right, I'll give you a little bit of this. Says here, Dateline Madison, the highest offices of Wisconsin government are locked in a ferocious power struggle ahead of the 2024 presidential election. Now that the new liberal majority on the Supreme Court has agreed to take up a lawsuit that could upend the Republican majority in the legislature and trigger an unprecedented impeachment of a sitting justice. The four liberals who control the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed on Friday to take up a legal challenge to the state's legislative boundaries that have helped Republicans secure just shy of a supermajority of seats in the statehouse of this battleground state. the court's newest justice, Janet Protasiewicz, also on Friday rejected calls from Republican legislative leaders to recuse herself from lawsuits before the court challenging the state's legislative maps, which she described on the campaign trail as rigged, a decision the assembly speaker has warned could push him to start impeachment proceedings. An effort to remove Protasiewicz could spur even more upheaval, with possibilities ranging from lawsuits to block lawmakers from carrying out their goals to a surprise resignation by the new justice in order to allow Democratic Governor Tony Evers to appoint a new justice to the court. The turmoil at the top of two co-equal branches of government is playing out as Republican lawmakers continue to overhaul who oversees elections by considering ways to remove two top officials at the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Here's a quote. It says, as seems to be the case with so many aspects of Wisconsin politics, we are in uncharted territory, said Barry Burden, a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and director of the university's Elections Research Center. Republican lawmakers have raised the prospect of impeaching Protasiewicz if she does not step away from challenges to the state's electoral maps that are currently under the court's consideration, arguing she is biased because she called the maps rigged on the campaign trail and received about $10 million from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Protasiewicz defeated conservative Daniel Kelly by 11 points in the April election, flipping control of the court 4-3 in favor of liberals when she assumed the bench in August. Protasiewicz issued the order announcing her decision to stay on the redistricting case late Friday afternoon, arguing the contributions from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin are not relevant because the party is not a litigant in the case, and because doing so would create an unworkable precedent for all of her colleagues who also have benefited from party contributions. She also said her comments during the campaign were accompanied with promises to approach individual cases with neutrality. Quote, recusal decisions are controlled by the law. They are not a matter of personal preference. If precedent requires it, I must recuse. But if precedent does not warrant recusal, my oath binds me to participate, Protasiewicz wrote in the order. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, has warned for 2 months he could initiate impeachment proceedings against Protasiewicz if she did not recuse, despite state law reserving such a move for corruption or crimes only. Voss has not yet said how he will react to Protasiewicz's Friday decision to stay on the cases. The impeachment, by the way, would be unprecedented, said Marquette University Law School professor Chad Oldfather, but the possibility seems real, is his quote. Whether it happens, he said, will be decided by political calculations, including whether Republicans have the votes and whether they are concerned about the short and long-term effects of taking a step no Wisconsin legislature has ever taken before. And here's a quote from the professor, Chad Oldfather. He says, it's been a norm from nearly the beginning that judges don't get impeached just because someone disagrees with their decisions. Judicial independence is a core feature of how the rule of law is implemented in the United States, and one of the main historical reasons we came to have judicial elections was to preserve judicial independence from legislatures. Again, that's the professor at Marquette University Law School, Chad Oldfather. Getting back to the story, it says here, there are many reasons to think electing judges is a bad way to select them, he said, quote, but one thing it does is it grounds judicial independence in the will of the voters, end quote. The dispute between the two branches will have more than a ripple effect on Wisconsin's political and judicial climates, said former state Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Geske. She said, quote, there are going to be tidal waves starting next week. What I'm worried about is that they will impeach because they'll have the votes, and then they won't do anything to remove her, and that really hamstrings the court doing anything about it, Geske said. To me, it's a total misuse of the Constitution and the impeachment process, but that doesn't mean they won't do it, end quote. The state assembly may vote to impeach a justice with a simple majority. Once that happens, a justice cannot perform the duties of their office without being acquitted by the Senate. That means if Protasiewicz is impeached by the assembly, but the Senate doesn't act to remove her, she will be sidelined from the court, leaving it with a 3-3 ideological split on a case with profound importance for both political parties in the 2024 election. That scenario could push Protasiewicz to resign from the court to allow Evers to replace her, Burden said. Quote, if the Senate moves slowly enough with a trial that it appears to be holding up the court's work, it is quite possible that Protasiewicz will feel sufficient pressure to resign and allow Governor Evers to appoint a replacement, Burden said. The replacement would presumably circumvent Republican concerns because the person would not have waged a campaign for office that could have raised conflicts of interest, end quote. Burden also said, because, quote, every contentious issue in Wisconsin political life nowadays seems to result in litigation, end quote, it's likely an impeachment of Protasiewicz would generate at least one lawsuit to stop the process. State law offers another path to remove a sitting judge or justice, that is, removal by address, which lawmakers may opt to use, Burden said. Under that procedure, the address must specify, quote, charges against a judge alleging misconduct, or that the judge is not physically or mentally qualified to exercise the judicial functions of the judge's office, end quote. The judge may then present a defense to the legislature and could be removed with a vote from 2/3 of all members elected in each chamber. So there is a fight going on. It'll be interesting to see what happens next, but Justice Protasiewicz says she's not going to recuse herself. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, going to take our first break. Stick around. It'll be a short one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the low 50s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 37. Some frost possible. Partly sunny and 55 on Tuesday. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high around 57. Thursday, some rain with a high around 55. It will be windy.
Right now, it's 37.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
To the people! Power to the people! Power to the people! Power to the people!
The people. 23 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, almost 24 minutes after. And John Lennon. Yep, music from John Lennon. Born on this date, the 8th of October in 1940. Celebrating one of the great songwriters of our time and one of the Beatles. Man, what an impact they had on popular music. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Today is the 8th of October. It's also Indigenous Peoples Day. I found a really interesting article It's a commentary piece, an opinion piece, in the Idaho Capital Sun newspaper. I want to give you a little bit of this in the time that we have before our next break. Indigenous Peoples Day, celebrating 1,000 cultures within the United States as the national movement to honor the achievements of Native people grows. We celebrate our history and the fact we are still here, writes guest columnist Rebecca Talent. And it says here, Monday, October 9th. Is that what today's date is, the 9th? Yeah. Did I say the 8th? Oh, man. Anyway, today, Monday, October 9th, is Indigenous Peoples Day. I heard a lot of people yelling at their radio, and I wondered what they were yelling about. They're trying to tell me I had the date wrong. Anyway, today is Indigenous Peoples Day, replacing Columbus Day in many places. In 2019, the governor of Idaho, Brad Little, issued a proclamation celebrating the day in Idaho. But what is it and why should anyone care? Indigenous Peoples Day began as a movement in 1992 to honor the more than 1,000 indigenous cultures within the United States. It's estimated prior to 1491, the indigenous population of the Americas was twice the size of Europe. You got that? Before Columbus got here, indigenous cultures within the United States, the population was twice the size of Europe. The first celebration was also a protest to the 500th anniversary of Columbus landing in North America, which ultimately led to the death of thousands of indigenous people. Slowly, over the last 31 years, Indigenous Peoples Day has begun to replace Columbus Day in many cities and states, with numerous people citing Columbus as representing the violent colonization of the Western Hemisphere by Europeans. In 2021, President Joe Biden became the first president to commemorate the holiday with a proclamation. So how violent is the past? Since the Pequot War of 1637-1638, European colonists viewed indigenous people as a threat to expansion, political security, and land ownership. Author Mark Stein, in his book called American Panic, said because the indigenous people were not Christian, had different languages and cultural ideas, the colonists began a systematic process of eradicating native people. Included in the process was a war of words where indigenous people were seen as less than human, often given animal characteristics, and subject to forcible removal from traditional lands as colonists expanded their territory. Perhaps what disturbed the early colonists the most, aside from natives' lack of Christianity, was the fact that so many tribes are led by women and that men and women have equal rights in their society. In many tribes, women were not only chiefs, but warriors, medicine women and healers, and educators. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Israeli warplanes are continuing attacks on Hamas targets in Gaza, days after a surprise incursion by Hamas militants. About 1,200 people on both sides have been killed, including, we've just learned, 9 Americans in Israel. CBS's Holly Williams.
Israel says it wants vengeance
And in the Gaza Strip, deadly retribution is falling from the sky. In the coming days, Israel's expected to launch a ground incursion.
Israel is cutting off water and electricity to Gaza, blocking food and fuel deliveries. As for Iran's possible involvement, U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor John Finer tells CBS Mornings.
What we have not seen yet at this moment, although we are continuing to look at it very closely, is any sort of direct involvement in the immediate attacks that took place over the last couple of days.
Wars pushed oil prices up. Analyst Tom Kloza.
It's basically on the uncertainty about what's going to happen.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. First Lady Jill Biden will make a trip to Wisconsin early this week to promote the Biden administration's commitment to supporting Native communities and collaborating with tribal nations. The First Lady will be in Green Bay today to attend a Biden Cancer Moonshot event. Then on Tuesday, we'll tour the Menominee Tribal Enterprises sawmill to learn about sustainable forest management. She will also visit the College of Menominee Nation and participate in the Women's Empowerment Summit. Xcel Energy is planning a $500 million transmission line project through western Wisconsin, planning to start the line in Trumbull County and connecting it with existing transmission lines in Clark County and Rust County. The timeline for the project is not set, but Xcel Energy doesn't plan to submit an application with the Public Service Commission until at least next summer. The company will also hold open houses from today through Thursday for residents to learn about the project. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the notice them until I got this feeling that it's late.
Daniel's show, 8:35 right now. Music from Jackson Browne, who is celebrating his 75th birthday today. Jackson Browne, born on this date, the 9th of October, in 1948. Happy birthday to Jackson Browne, one of another great songwriter, right? An American songwriter. Still going strong, putting out great music these days. And we've got 42 degrees in La Crosse right now, 38 degrees in Richland Center. And just before the break, we were discussing Indigenous Peoples Day. I was going over an opinion piece, a commentary, in the Idaho Capital Sun newspaper. This is by Rebecca Talent. It was posted just this morning. It gives you a background on Indigenous Peoples Day and some of the history about why it's important. And I was to the place in this commentary where it said perhaps what disturbed the early colonists the most, aside from natives' lack of Christianity, was the fact that so many tribes are led by women and that men and women have equal rights in their society. In many tribes, women were not only chiefs but warriors, medicine women or healers, and educators. Also, in many tribes, men would join the women's clan on marriage, and women were allowed to divorce their husbands, all foreign concepts to the more puritanical Europeans. Later, under President Andrew Jackson, the Indian Removal Acts relocated many tribes from their ancestral homes. Andrew Jackson, even called natives savages during a State of the Union address, implying the forced removal was no more painful to them than Europeans voluntarily leaving their homes to come to the United States. The forced Trail of Tears marches across America in winter were far more gruesome than any difficult ocean voyage. Following the Indian Wars, which included events such as the Sand Creek Massacre and the Battle of Wounded Knee, the United States government and others developed another attempt to eradicate the natives by establishing boarding schools. In the schools, there was an attempt to, in quotation marks, civilize native children by erasing their culture, teaching them menial jobs such as cooks and bakers and servants, still outside, quote, polite society. We are now discovering how many thousands of children died in the schools and how traumatized tribes have been since the schools were established. Still, Native cultures survived. Despite the lack of recognition, Indigenous people continue to benefit society as writers, educators, musicians, scientists, business entrepreneurs, athletes, artists, soldiers, and code talkers during the World Wars, and others. And while most Americans have enjoyed their citizenship since 1780, or whenever their ancestors arrived on the shores, Indigenous people were not granted United States citizenship until 1924. Native Americans were also denied civil rights under the 1964 Civil Rights Act, forced to wait until the Indian Civil Rights Act of 1968. To be recognized by the country. In the meanwhile, Indigenous people greatly influenced United States culture by leading in sports, agriculture, mythology, literature, music, especially rock, country, and blues, and contributing words to the English language, including states like Idaho and Wyoming, plus cities and trees. And just like people of European
Asian, African, Hispanic, and other cultures, indigenous people have pride in their cultures and histories, that we celebrate our history and the fact that we are still here. That piece was written by Rebecca Talent, journalist, public relations professional, and that's from the Idaho Capital Sun newspaper. We've got 8:49 right now, almost, 8:39 right now, almost 8:40. Another thing I wanted to get to here before we go to break is a story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel with a headline that says, Potawatomi drummer tells story of drums' importance to tribal nation. It says here, while Monday is known as Columbus Day for much of the United States, tribal people question what Columbus actually discovered and instead celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. In 2021, President Joe Biden became the first United States president to mark Indigenous Peoples Day with a proclamation. In 2019, Wisconsin joined what was at the time a handful of other states that recognized the second Monday in October as Indigenous Peoples Day. Neither recognition replaces Columbus Day, but Indigenous Peoples Day celebrations will be taking place across the state, including in Milwaukee. The Hone Bridge that connects I-794 in downtown Milwaukee will be lit up in traditional medicine wheel colors. Before the lighting, the Little Priest Drum Group will perform a traditional song at 6:45 p.m. The Milwaukee Public Museum also will be celebrating with special events throughout the day. At many of these Indigenous Peoples Day celebrations, there will be traditional dances, singers, and drums performed by tribal people in regalia. Nick Shepard, 44, a member of the Forest County Potawatomi community, has been drumming and singing at powwow and other tribal events around the state and Indian country for much of his life. Quote, "The drum is the heartbeat for all of our tribal nation," he said. Many of the songs Shepard performs at these events are about 300 years old and can have several different purposes. The songs can be a prayer to Creator, a message of love, a memory of someone, or of an event, or an honor song for someone who did a good deed. Shepard creates his own songs too. Quote, "A melody comes to you and you just keep going over it, and eventually you have a song," he said. "It just comes naturally. You could even say it's spiritual," end quote. Shepard said Potawatomi are taught from youth that Creator looks down on them and wants to see children dancing and tribal peoples singing and making moccasin tracks every weekend in Indian country. Quote, "If Creator sees this, then he favors us as we're handing down the knowledge," he said. "If this is not happening, then he might end the world again," end quote. Shepard said part of the Potawatomi creation story is similar to the Bible's, in which a great flood ended the world. It was the muskrat that swam to the bottom and gathered dirt to create a land base again called Turtle Island, North America. The drum helps keep that connection to Creator. In the early times, Shepard said the drum used to be made out of a tree stump with buffalo hide stretched over it. Today, it's mostly plywood held together with screws and bolts with deer hide stretched over. Quote, "We lay tobacco, pray over it, and let the Creator know what we're doing when we're tanning the hide," Shepard said. "It's done in a good way." Shepard teaches about 60 Potawatomi preschool children a week the traditional ways that were passed down to him. On most weekends, he teaches and shows the general public the ways of the Potawatomi. Shepard's next performance will be at the Hunting Moon Powwow, October 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Milwaukee Potawatomi Casino. And I think that's where the story ends. Yep, that's the end of that piece from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Potawatomi drummer tells the story of the drum's importance to the tribal nation. So, in addition to being quote, Columbus Day today, the second Monday in October. The 9th is Indigenous Peoples Day. Think about that today when you're going about your business. Got 8:44 right now. Going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
I am a child in these hills and looking for water and looking for life. Who will show me the river and ask me my name? Is there nobody here who will do that? Well, I have come to these hills. I will come to the river as I choose to be gone from the house of my father. I am a child of these hills. I am a
the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the low 50s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 37. Some frost possible. Partly sunny and 55 on Tuesday. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high around 57. Thursday, some rain with a high around 55. It will be windy.
Right now, it's 37.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Together with the band. 8:54 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Music from The Who, bass player John Entwistle,
was born on this date, October 9th in 1944. Man, a lot of big birthdays on this date. Welcome back to the show. It is 35 degrees right now in Amory. Eau Claire has 37. And by the way, that song made me think, can you think of any other popular song that features a jew's harp? I can't think of any. There's probably one or two, but jew's harp prominent in that song, starting out with just the jew's harp. And man, the Who, innovators trying different stuff back in the day. Let's get back to some news. And I have here a story from The Insider about a Republican congressman who says conservative hardliners who helped oust Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House could very easily cause the party to lose its House majority in 2024. This piece was posted yesterday, late afternoon. And by the way, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. And by the way, if you want to send me an email message, you can do that as well. My email address is stewmanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. So getting back to this story from The Insider, a Republican congressman says conservative hardliners who helped oust Kevin McCarthy as speaker could very easily cause the party to lose its House majority in 2024. And we're talking about Congressman Tom Cole of Oklahoma. Tom Cole told The Atlantic that hardliners might very easily cost the Republican Party its House majority. He said, quote, "I think these guys materially hurt our chances to hold the majority." And Cole strongly vouched for McCarthy shortly before he was ousted as speaker in a 216 to 210 vote. I'll give you a little bit of this before we have to head to break. Shortly before Representative Kevin McCarthy of California was ousted as Speaker of the House last Tuesday, one of his most prominent allies stepped forward to vouch for his character. Representative Tom Cole of Oklahoma, a veteran Republican lawmaker who chairs the House Rules Committee, touted McCarthy's leadership in the lower chamber as he rejected calls by conservative hardliners to oust their speaker, who had only been in the role since January. Quote, "The overwhelming majority of my party supports the speaker that we elected. We're proud of the leadership he has shown," Cole said at the time. "There's a second group, a small group. Honestly, they are willing to plunge this body into chaos and this country into uncertainty for reasons that only they really understand." Later that day, the House voted 216 to 210 to remove McCarthy from the leadership, with 8 Republicans joining, 208 Democrats in backing a motion to vacate the chair. It was an act that continues to frustrate Cole, who recently told The Atlantic that conservative hardliners just took out our best player, as the party looks to defend its slim 221 to 212 House majority headed into a presidential election year. And Cole told the magazine that McCarthy's ouster could very easily threaten the very House majority that the Republicans fought so hard to win last year after losing it following the 2018 midterms. It's 8:58 right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
The
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.